Praise His name forevermore. Aren't you glad you know Him? Well, God is good. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, this idea of, you know, being faithful and doing things God's way, you know, a lot of times it's like working out. And what I mean by that is, you don't see, I don't know if you're like me, I work out one time, and I look in the mirror, and I'm like, where are the abs? One time. I mean, I sweat, and I burn calories. Where are the abs? You know, and you can work out 5 days, 10 days. Where are they? Where are they? You know, and it doesn't happen overnight. But if you trust the process of eating right and working out, your body will change. And it's the same thing. When you give yourself to spiritual things and the things of God, and you're faithful with it, you might not see the results overnight. You might not receive the results the next week, but you will see change. I had the pleasure of meeting with a couple in South Dayton, and they had struggled and they had strayed away, and the world happened to them. Amen. How many of you know the world rears its ugly head at times? And it happened to them, and they had come back to the church and they wanted to meet with me. And I told them, I gave them an analogy of like working out. I said, you got to trust the process. I said, if you'll do what I say to do, if you'll be faithful to be there when you can, you know, putting your children under the word, being there faithfully, what's going to happen over time is you're going to see supernatural changes. Well, I had the pleasure of meeting with them recently, and they sat down with me and they said, Pastor Mike, you told us months ago to trust the process. We didn't see things immediately, but you said stick with it and trust the process. They did, and they said, we can't even believe the changes. Well, God's faithful. Praise God. Hallelujah. When I am excited for tonight, you are going to be changed tonight. You say, Pastor, you say that every time because it's true. Amen. Hallelujah. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. You know, God is a baseball fan. And you know, in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the big inning. Genesis chapter 1. So I like God because I'm a baseball fan. We're in cahoots together here. I think it says in the beginning. Maybe I read that wrong, but God was just giving us the play-by-play. But let's pray and believe Him for utterance. Lord, we're so grateful. You are God. You are the Lord of our lives, and we praise You tonight. Lord, I get it. I understand a midweek service is no convenient thing. It's not for me either. I have a family. I live far away. Father, we have work. We have things that can be done around our house with our families, things we have to do tomorrow. But Father, those that came out tonight, give them something special tonight, Lord. You're not unrighteous to reward. I know You. I know how You are, how You operate. And so, Father, I thank You for utterance tonight. Words from heaven. Father, I thank You there'll be a flow of the Holy Ghost here. Father, the anointing will be on full display in this room. May I speak as the oracles of God and things flowing out of my mouth that hit bullseyes in people's hearts. And Father, I'm just so thrilled about this service that You gave me. And Lord, this has been stirring in my heart a little while, and You gave me the release to finally go ahead and preach it. So thank You, Father. We're excited for what we're about to receive. We tell our minds to be quiet. We tell our bodies to be quiet. And we give our spirit first place here tonight. And we give You the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to read down a little bit. I'm not sure how far we'll go with it. But I'll go until I know we can stop. But anyways, it says, in the beginning, I guess it's beginning, it says, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, how many of you know the earth is the natural? Amen. That's where we're at, the natural. That which you can touch, that's what you can see. But it says He created it. And it says, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So there was an earth, but there was nothing on the earth. Verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And verse 6 says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven. Now, you got to understand heaven here, terminology. We're not talking the spiritual heaven. We're talking about the sky is what he's talking about here. You have to look up these words in the Hebrew. But anyways, what verse am I on? 9. It says, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. And then I'm just going to kind of read down these through these fast. In verse 10, God called the dry land earth. And then God said in 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed. And then the Bible says in verse 13 or verse 12, the earth brought forth the grass, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, and to divide the day from the night, and let there be for signs. So what's he talking about? The sun and the moon. And let them be for lights, verse 15. And then verse 16, and God made two great lights, one to rule the day, one to rule the night. Verse 17, God set them there. Verse 18, rule over day, rule over the night. We don't need to go over that. I'm just kind of going down through. I'm trying to get a point across here. And verse 20 said, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. The moving creature that hath life, the fowl that may fly above the earth. And so we know what happens going on. God said for it to happen, and it happened. And verse 23, the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And then verse 24, God said, let the earth bring forth living creature after his kind. And then it says, verse 25, God made the beasts of the earth. So God spoke it, and guess what? It happened, like everything else here so far. So we're just going down through this. And then it says, God said, let us make man in our own image, verse 26. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So my point is this, is that God opened his mouth, God spoke some things, and the natural changed. The natural adjusted to what he said. Amen? So God spoke it, and change happened. Verse 33. One says, God saw everything that he made. Behold, it was very good. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. Then the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Now, again, it's not talking about the spiritual heaven that's already been created, already been there. That's where God exists. It's talking about the sky. So the sky, everything in the sky, the stars, the sun, the moon, you know. And it says, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. So my point that I want to make to you going into tonight is that the natural was a way. The natural looked a certain way. The natural was a certain way. And the way that God caused that natural to change is he opened his mouth and he spoke it. Now, what you have to understand is that when the Bible says, and God said, well, we have to understand something about him. Go to John 4:24. It's going to go from teachy to preachy. Real fast. Praise God. You know, you're kind of going, I don't know about you, but this is the way I drive. You know, I got a V8, I got to use it. What's the point of having a V8 if you're not going to use it? And I get off, coming from South Dayton, get off the Kennedy. Well, actually, before I'm coming through Kennedy, and I get on off the exit ramp there, the Kennedy Warren exit, to get on 86, and I'm going along real nice on that exit ramp, but man, when I hit 86, it's boom. That's what's going to happen tonight. We're going to go from teachy to preachy. It's going to be like, whoa, how did he get out of there? But John 4:24, so bear with me in the teachy parts. It says, God is a spirit. Okay? You have to understand that. God is not like you and I are right now. Now, we are like him in his image. We're a spirit being, but we can't see that. We are flesh and blood right now, but God is not flesh and blood. He is a spirit. So when it says God said to the natural, you could say it this way. The spirit realm changed the natural realm. It wasn't the natural realm that used its muscle and might and thought process and thinking skills and all these, you know, deduct this and that and this would be good, pros and cons. No. It was a spirit being causing the natural realm to change. Amen. Get that in you as we go on here. And what I want, so what we can say then would be this, and we'll check out a verse here. Go to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Forgive the drinking. Drier than a desert up here. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. So the spirit, God is a spirit, that spirit being change the natural. So 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, you could then make the, not the argument, but you could make the statement, and it would be a true one, that that realm that created this realm, the spirit realm trumps the natural realm. What do I mean? The spirit realm has power over the natural realm. Why? The natural realm doesn't change the spirit realm. The spirit realm is eternal. God is unchanging. But that unchanging realm changes this realm. Amen? So you could say it trumps this realm. Well, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16 says, for this cause we faint not, but though our, now look at this, though our outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. There it is. It's telling us that that spirit realm trumps the natural realm. The outward man is the natural realm. And the Bible says that realm is fading away. It's perishing. While the inward man, the spirit man that you can't see, is getting stronger and stronger. Why? That realm trumps this realm. Amen? And so in verse, and we're going to get to something that's going to pertain to you, and you're going to get, you better just right now, just reach down, take off your shoes you have on now, and put your shouting shoes on, because you're going to need your shouting shoes tonight, because there's going to be a lot to shout about. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, let's see. It says, verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, which we're talking about right now, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now look at verse 18, because I'm making the statement, the spirit realm trumps the natural realm. The spirit realm is greater than the natural realm. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. What does that mean? They change. They change, but they change in a way that fades away. They're temporary. Amen? They're temporary. But the things which are not seen, which is what? The spiritual, is eternal. Never fades away. Now, the Lord gave me this example of something that we can see of how the natural can fade away, but the spiritual lives forever. And it trumps that realm, because I need you to see and get into you for your own life going forward that the spirit realm trumps the natural realm. That the spirit realm can change the natural realm. And remember Pastor Mike Slick text today, I said, we need changes. Well, we're going to find out how those changes can come. And so, if you think about a light bulb, think about a light bulb for a second, and they're a blessing, and they bring help to us. But there's different kinds of light bulbs. And the one thing we can say about all of them, and I'll go over different ones here just to kind of prove the point, but one thing we can say about light bulbs is they're not eternal. Some last, you know, for example, I have it written down here. The incandescent light bulb lasts 1 to 2 years, and then it's gone. There's halogen light bulbs. They last a little longer, 2 to 3 years. And then you have bulbs called compact fluorescent, which lasts for 7 to 9 years. Lasts longer, but they still fade away. That light source is good, but not eternal. And then you have LEDs, and they last for 10 to 20 years. So we're getting better and better, but still, after 20 years, that light, at the most, is going to be gone. It's going to be done, right? Even though it gave off light, it was a blessing, it was there, it seemed so wonderful, it's now faded away, and it is gone. And then we have another light-giving natural source called the sun. Now, the sun is the greatest of all light-giving sources, right? But even the sun is a natural thing. And the sun, actually, if I were to live to be 5 billion and 41 years old, I would be able to watch the sun fade away. Scientists know by the makeup of the sun has about 5 billion years left. God knew what he was doing putting the sun in the sky. People aren't going to have to worry about that. But still, the sun is a natural thing that fades away, right? Why am I showing you this? Well, now go with me to Revelation 21, 22. So we have all these light-giving sources, different kinds of light bulbs that last a certain amount of time, longer and longer, greater and greater, and then we get to the great light-giving being, which is the sun, but that even is going to fade away after time. But go to Revelation 21 and verse 22. Revelation 21 and verse 22. Hallelujah. While you're turning, I'm drinking. Revelation 21, 22. And this is talking about heaven. It says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. But look at verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did light in it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So what's it saying? We have natural light sources, but God, the spiritual, is even a greater, that realm trumps even that realm. It's just to prove the point that the spiritual realm trumps the natural realm. Even with the sun, 5 billion years, goodbye. God, 5 billion years, still going to be shining bright. The Lamb's still going to be shining bright. So get that in you, that the spiritual realm trumps or changes or has authority over this natural realm. Now, how did God accomplish this? How did this spirit being accomplish these changes? Well, we know the Bible says, and God said. Now go with me to Hebrews 11:3. It tells us this. Praise God. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand, we have to understand something, that the worlds, what we just read about, were framed. What's the frame? The frame of building, to build, to construct. Not by God's might, not by God's like physical power. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. We know that. Why? God opened His mouth and spoke, and when God says something, that's the Word of God. Just like when I open and say something to my children, that's the Word of Dad. Amen? Just like when you say something, that's the Word of Mom, the Word of so-and-so. Praise God. It says, worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now look at this. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What's that mean? The things that were made were not made by other seen things. They were made by the unseen things. Why? The unseen thing had the power to make things, had the power to create things, had the power to change things. Praise God. Now, go with me to Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. So far what we've learned is that the spiritual realm trumps the natural realm. That realm can change, create, but how did God do it? He opened His mouth and He spoke. And we're going to see why that worked and what this story has to do with that when we read down through it. So go to Mark 11 and verse 12. Oh, I am just so happy up here. I'm happy. Mark 11 and verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he, Jesus, was hungry. He's with his disciples. Seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came to it, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever, his disciples heard. So what did he do? He cursed the fig tree. He said, you're no longer making fruit anymore. You fruit-making tree, you're done with fruit. What's that? Cursing the fig tree. And then they went to Jerusalem, did some things, but I want you to drop down to verse 19 for time's sake. So he curses the fig tree. The disciples, the Bible says he heard it. Jesus spoke to the tree. Jesus opened his mouth and talked to a natural thing. Didn't God open his mouth and talk to a natural thing? The earth. He made the heavens and the earth, but the earth was without form and void. He spoke to a natural thing. And it says in verse 19, and when the evening was come, they went back out of the city where the fig tree was. And in the morning, as they passed by the fig tree, they saw that the fig tree was dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember it, said unto him, Master, look, the fig tree which you cursed, which must have happened the day before, or at least when they left. It didn't happen when they were there, or Peter would have said something then. It happened after they left. Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed, it's withered away. It's gone. What you said, it happened. So he curses it the day before. They go into the city, do their business, come back out, find that fig tree. Peter says, stop. That thing you spoke to, it did exactly what you said. Now, think about this for a second. We'll be able to clear it up clearer when we see in John 6 and verse 63. Jesus spoke, okay? Now, here's the thing. Jesus gave up his deity when he came to the earth. The Bible says he laid aside the privileges and deity of heaven. Jesus became a natural man on the earth. If he was just a spirit being on the earth, just spirit, he'd have never hungered. Spirits don't get hungry. Spirits don't sleep. Jesus got tired and slept. Jesus wept, praise God. Right? Jesus did these natural things, rested, things like that. So he was a natural being. But here's what I want you to see. This natural man opened his mouth to a natural thing, spoke something, and it changed. Now, John 6 and verse 63 tell us why that is. Hallelujah. John 6, 63, it's the spirit that makes alive, he says. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are what? Life. So Jesus, now, think about this. He is the Word of God. Right? The Bible says he's the Word of God. The things that he said in the Bible, we count them as the Word of God. Because he was God on the earth, in the flesh, but even though he was 100% God, he was also 100% man on the earth. Makes your brain go a little squirrely, but it's the truth. So when Jesus opens his mouth anytime, it's the Word of God coming out of him. Because he only speaks what God tells him to say and what God wants him to do. So when Jesus says to the fig tree, no man eat fruit from you ever again, what he's saying, because he's the Word of God and God is a spirit, Jesus said, my words are spirit. He's speaking spirit words to a natural thing. And remember what we learned about spirit words back there 10 minutes ago? Spirit words cause things in the natural to change, to create, to be different. Well, he opened his mouth. He's the Word of God. His words are spirit. Spirit trumps the natural. So when the spirit said, fig tree, you're cursed and dried up, the natural has to give way. Why? The natural's temporary. It's subjected to the spiritual. Well, that's well and great for God and Jesus, but you know the rest of the story. It says here in verse 22, well, go back to verse 21 first, Mark 11, 21. Mark 11, 21. Oh, this is so good. I've heard this preached, I've preached it, I've studied it and read it, and it just stirred me up so much today. Mark 11, 21. Remember, Peter calls to remembrance and says, Master, the tree which you cursed, it's withered away. He was shocked. He was probably already shocked that the guy he left everything for to follow the day before was speaking to a tree. He's probably had a long night of sleep thinking, I'm not sure if this is the wisest career choice. I think I got a psychopath here. He's talking to trees. Now Peter walks by and says, oh my gosh, exactly what you said happened. He was shocked. And Jesus says, whoa, Peter, right? He calms him down and he says in verse 22, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. So he says, have faith in God or have the faith of God. That's how it's literally translated in the Greek. Now look at how Jesus addresses them. Remember, we got a group of shocked, one of them who admitted it, said it out loud. We have a group of shocked people that are shocked that words can change the natural. Now look at what Jesus says to him. Don't be shocked, Peter. For verily I say unto you. He's saying, of a truth, I'm saying this to you, Peter. Now look at this. So we have God included, Jesus included, and now he includes Peter, but then Jesus includes the whole world from now until Jesus comes back. He says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, not just me, Peter, not just you, Peter, not just the rest of you 11 here, but anybody else, that says to the mountain, says to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Now remember, you are a three-part being. You are flesh and blood. You are mind, will, and emotions. But the real you is a spirit. And when a spirit spoke in Genesis chapter 1 and had spirit words in that spirit's mouth, things changed. When Jesus spoke spirit words to the natural, things changed. And now he's telling you, if you will put spirit words in your... Now, natural words won't do it. If you'll put spirit words in your mouth, the natural change. Why? The natural can't stand up to the spirit. The earth, as much as it didn't want to create a sun, if it didn't bring forth grass and trees and animals, it couldn't stand against this. No matter how much that fig tree wanted to keep producing fruit, when the spirit word spoke to it, it had to give up the ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. Now think about this. Go back to verse 22. Or 23. Go back to 23, but the beginning of 23. That whosoever says to the mountain. You know what a mountain is? It's a natural thing. Now, you know he's not talking about you going standing at the base of Mount Kilimanjaro and saying, get into the ocean, mountain. We know he's not talking about that. He's using a parable. He's giving us an example. But what does mountains represent? Something large. Something rugged. Something hard to get by. Something that are tough to climb. Something in our way, right? You come... Explorers, you know, getting a mile. Oh my gosh, we can't get around this mountain. You know, things that are in our way. Troubles, hardships, opposition. And Jesus said, if you'll open your mouth and say, use spirit words from a spirit being to this natural, the natural will have to move because the spiritual always trumps the natural. Amen. Hallelujah. If you want to know what spirit words are, let me give you the definition. Because we need to speak spirit words. God is a spirit, and he spoke the word. What are spirit words? The word of God is spirit words. Remember, it defined it. Jesus said, my words are spirit. The word of God is all a bunch of spirit words because they are the word of a spirit. The Bible is nothing more than a book of words of a spirit being. Or from a spirit being. So what are spirit words? Spirit words are anything spoken by God. And they carry power in them. Creating power. Transforming power. Mountain moving power. Now that can come in many different fashions. It can come in the form of the word of God. The written word of God. But how many of you know when God speaks something to your heart... Even though there might not be chapter and verse on that, that's just as much the Word of God as the written Word of God. For example, there was no scripture that told me that my house, the address of it, was my home. But the Holy Ghost let me in on something, and when it wasn't mine, and I didn't own it, and somebody else already lived there, he said to me, this is your house. Well, when God gives you a word, it's not for you to sit on it. It's not for you just to sit around and hope that it comes to pass. You put those words, because God's not going to speak it for you. He's not here anymore. Jesus isn't here to speak it for you. The Bible says, whosoever will say it. So I got that word in my mouth. And from the time that happened to the time the transaction went through, it was 7 to 9 months. Of me saying, that's my home. That's my home. The money comes. That's my home. Well, what was I doing? Putting spirit words in my mouth. What were the spirit words? He already told you it was my house. It's from him. That's a spirit word. The spirit words trump the natural realm. So when I say that, the natural has to give it up. That's why when you say, when you're sick, by his stripes I'm healed, you're speaking spirit words of those sickness. And if you'll stick with it, it can't stay. Same with poverty. When you speak to your finances, spirit words of Philippians 4:19, get that in your mouth, it can't stay. The needs have to be turned around to supply. It has to. Why? The spirit trumps the natural. Praise God. How about, I can think of y'all that were with me in the warehouse. You heard me say, we got a building coming. We got a building coming. We got a building coming. It didn't look like there was a building anywhere to be had. And... we jumped out in faith and bought a $500,000 building when we had no business buying a $500,000 business. But God's a big God. He's a big God, praise God. And what a blessing it's been. And we call it paid off. Let me drink. And so I think about the building. I just kept speaking it. Why? I didn't. Now, if the Lord, I love what Pastor Nancy talked about the Goodwins in their church years ago with Brother Hagin, and they absolutely packed out their church, had to bring in seats all the time. And Pastor Nancy said, why didn't they just build a bigger building? And Brother Hagin said something so key. He said, because God never told them to. People step up and do things outside the boundaries of God's word. And God's not in everything we want. God's not in everything that we think should happen. Our job is to find out His plan, and then the blessing comes with it. And so that pastor was so wise. I wouldn't have moved us out of the warehouse into a building like this when naturally on paper we couldn't make the payment. But you have a faith pastor, so you might as well just get used to going higher and higher. I don't mind stepping out on the very end of the branch where you're wobbling up. You know, back by the base of the tree, that branch is sturdy, but you get out there and woo! I don't mind it. That's when it gets fun. Amen? But I wouldn't do that unless the Holy Ghost, when I was here, gave me the green light. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. So, just kept speaking to things, keep speaking for the provision of this place, and the natural has to give it up. Hallelujah. It's the same way it happened with my financial testimony. Just kept speaking it, just kept saying it. The natural had to give it up. Praise God. But I want to show you why this works. I want to show you what's happening behind the scenes. Go to Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Thank you for coming tonight. It sure would not have been very much fun to preach to just wood. It's fun to see some human beings sitting on that wood. Isaiah 55. These are the principles that have changed my life, changed my kids, changed everything. Where are you, Isaiah? Oh, Isaiah. Found him. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm up here searching for him. I don't know what you're doing back there. I'm just up here busy with myself. Isaiah, who is Isaiah? Oh, that's right. He's your son. That's where he is. We found him. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Now look at, I love how the Lord prefaces 8 and 9 aren't even what I want to look at. But I love how God gives us this first. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand God doesn't think like you. Your job is to start thinking like Him. He says, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. So the way you think it should be might not be the way I think it should be. We want to line our thoughts up to that. And then He says, my ways aren't your ways. So the way you think it should be done or the way you'd like to work this, it might not necessarily be the way I want it to happen. So God's making you know that right off the bat. He's giving you a little spanking right on the rear end. Tell you, don't think the way you think. It's not your ways. He says, for as the heavens, verse 9, are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He says, first of all, my ways aren't the same. Our thoughts are the same. And the reason is because I think higher than you, and my ways are higher than you. He's not bragging. He's just stating a fact. God has no arrogance in Him at all. We need to know this if we're going to receive of the next point. So He says, I want you to know the way you do things, the way I do things. Let's just give you an example. The spiritual language of tongues. What in the world? Why? His ways are higher. I might not think to, let's equip everybody with a gibberish-sounding babble that's going to freak out half the body of Christ and freak out pretty much the whole world. That's not how I would have done it. Well, that's how He did it. Why? He already told me. I don't think like you, Mike. I don't, my ways aren't like yours, so I don't care what you think and what your ways. I'm perfect, He's saying. My ways are just and righteous and perfect. So He's getting that down. And now He's going to give us a point that in the natural in our brains does not seem like this is how change happens. But He's saying, I don't care how you think change should happen. I don't care how you think it should be done. I'm going to tell you how it's done. And I just told you before, get your mind and your ways in line with Me. For the rain comes down from heaven and the snow from heaven. So He's talking about the rain and the snow. And it returns not there. It doesn't, does it? I've never seen the snow hit the ground and pop back up in the sky. I've never seen the rain hit the ground and pop back up to where it came from. No, it comes down and it stays here. He says, and it waters the earth. So it comes down and what's happening? Watering. What happens when the watering? And it makes it bring forth and bud. What's it saying? When the rain falls from the sky, hits the earth, it causes things to bring forth and bud. What's it saying? The natural changes. The ground changes because of the rain, right? That it may that, and then the result is it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. She says, rain comes down, doesn't return, but hits, does something. It waters. That watering causes a change. That change causes blessing. What's the blessing? Seed to the sower, bread to the eater. Okay, we got that. We know that. We're all farming 101. Right? I just took you to agriculture 101. We know this, though. It's how it works. So he's given us a point. Okay, you understand how that happens. But look at this. So shall, verse 11, so shall my word be. Remember, what is his word? Spirit. What did we already say? The spirit changes the natural. So he says, so shall my word go forth out of my mouth. Now remember, the word, he said, so shall. So we can liken this to what we just read about. What were we talking about in verse 10? The rain and the snow. He says, my word is like the rain and the snow. It goes forth and it doesn't return unto me. Void. Just like the snow and the rain come down and they don't return back to me. They do something. Well, when my word goes forth, they don't come back. They do something. Well, what do? It shall accomplish that. So shall the word that goes forth out of my mouth, it won't return unto me void. What's that mean? It doesn't. It's not a not producing thing. It's a producer. And it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper. What's the accomplishing prospering? The bringing forth budding and the seed to the sower and bread to the eater. It shall accomplish the thing and I prosper where I sent it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That deserves a drink. And so when and we saw this happen in Genesis 1. I said, let there be light. That didn't come back to me. It went out and it did some things and it caused some things to be accomplished. When I said grass grow, grass grew. When I said water be made, water was made. When Jesus said fig tree cursed, guess what? Fig tree cursed. Why? When the word goes forth, it hits the atmosphere just like the rain does. What does it do to the atmosphere? It waters the atmosphere. What happens when the rain waters the atmosphere? Causes it to bring forth and bud. What happens when the spirit words hit the atmosphere? It changes it and things start to come forth and bud that lead to blessing just like the rain and the snow do. Hallelujah. 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 Spirit words. Now remember, you say, do I have license to do this? He told you in Mark 11. Whosoever will speak to the natural. Well, what are the words that change the natural? Spirit words. And he just told you why. They go forth, they hit the natural, and the natural, just like rain causes natural change. That ground might not want to give forth, but sorry, that's the way it works, ground. Amen. It's the truth. Praise God. Now go with me to Proverbs 18:21. Hallelujah. A couple more places and we'll close this down. I can't guarantee I get you home for Jeopardy, but I can get you home. We'll get you home. Proverbs 18:21. Jeopardy's not 7:30 at my house. I'm not going to make it. Depending how close you are, you might. Proverbs 18:21. Praise God. Now look at this. We know this verse. Death and life. Everybody say death and life. Death and life. I mean, no, those are two different things that produce different things. But they're powerful things on the opposite ends of the spectrum. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Well, what does the tongue produce? Words. The tongue produces words. What can words do? Words can change things. But this verse gives us the indicator that words can change things for the good. And words can change things for the bad. Amen. That's what it says. Words can change things for the good, and words can change things for the bad. Well, we know words can be good. Jesus said in Mark 11, words can move mountains. But we also have examples in the Bible. Children of Israel come to mind at first. where they spoke things, we can't do it, we're not going to make it. And what did the Lord say in Numbers 14, verse 23? As you have spoken in my ears, so I will do. Why? He's bound by their word. And they didn't get it. Your words, why? They have the power. That's why people, I'll never make it. It'll never change for me. It's always going to be like this. My kids are this. You're a spirit being speaking words. And death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they can create death, they can create life. Well, think about this. Think about this example for a second. Electricity, handled right, is wonderful. It's a blessing. You can all see me, I can all see you. It's a blessing that I can see you. Maybe you wish the lights were out about from your end. Oh man, I wish we were back in the 1700s, Pastor Mike. That's why we don't have live stream. We've got to keep people safe, you know, in their homes. Oh, just play along with me, will you? Hallelujah. Electricity harnessed in the right way brings great blessing, doesn't it? Is electricity powerful? The Bible says your tongue's powerful. And your tongue can do good things, just like electricity's powerful and it can be in the right way. But if you mishandle electricity, oh, can it cause destruction and hurt and pain and death? I remember my friend Jonas, he's an Amish guy, he does work for me at my house, and he was doing something like in a side room we had, and I don't know what in the world I was thinking. But he had, so the light switch was sticking out of the wall, so the plate was off it and the backing was off it and sticking out of the wall. And for whatever reason, I don't know if he warned me this or didn't warn me of this, but how many of you know that light switch, in most cases, brings blessing to my life. And that part of the house when it's dark, you just flip on the light, right? If I need to see something better, flip on the light. Brings blessing, that same light switch. But today, this same light switch was mishandled. I didn't know I couldn't touch it. And I went and tried to try that. I was shot through the ceiling. Oh, man. I wondered if my hair was on end and smoke coming out my ears. I'd never felt anything like that before. And he started laughing. He said, I forgot. Or I think he said, I forgot to tell you about that. My point is, something that was meant to be a blessing, handled the wrong way, isn't. Yes. You can have electricity that can be all wired up right. But if you don't turn it on, it doesn't do anything for you. You can have a tongue that has the capabilities to produce life and death, and you cannot produce death with it, but if you don't do the right thing with it, it's still not going to work for you. Amen. You got to do the right thing, which is what? Say. Get those words out there. Now, we'll close with this. Praise God. Go with me to Mark 11, 23. We've already been there. But I want to put something in you as you're leaving tonight. I know what you're thinking. There is no way we can be done this quick. I've seen this man preach before. And I know you're thinking, Pastor Mike, you are not capable of closing down this early. You can't do it, Pastor Mike. Don't dare me. I'll do it. We'll do it when we're done, but we're almost done. But anyways, look at this now. I'm going to read through this verse, then I want to focus on a phrase. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say in this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast to the sea, shall not doubt his heart, shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, shall have what he says. He didn't say you'll have what you think. He didn't say you'll have what you hope. He didn't say you'll have what you wish. He didn't say you'll have what you dream. He said you'll have what... He didn't even say you'll have what you need or what you desire or what, you know, should be yours. Yeah. You'll have what you say. God didn't sit there and stand there and look at the earth. No, to get the motion moving, he put words. Why? Because he knows words water the atmosphere and then cause change. Jesus didn't just look at the fig tree and think, No, that's not how things change. He spoke to the fig tree. Why? Because out of his mouth, you might not get it, but when you open your mouth and speak spirit words, it's just like the rain. Think of the rain every time you speak to your problems. It's watering. And even when you water things, they don't immediately spring forth and bud. But if you keep at it, change is coming. It's the truth. And so we know this verse. Three times he tells us, he emphasizes, say. Mountains will move if you do. Why? We've learned why. You speak spirit words. The natural can't not stand. The spiritual trumps those. God's words are power forces. They're a powerful force. Amen? Now here we go. Go back to the beginning of this verse. Jesus said, this is in red letters in my Bible, that means he was quoted as saying this, "For verily," that means of a truth, "I say this." Now remember, God is not a man that he should lie. Jesus can't lie. He's bound by his Father. "Verily I say unto you," what's he saying? "Of a truth, I am telling you something." Now we gloss over that and we just, okay, that's good. We got to start saying. This is the words of Jesus. How much more would this sink into you? And it would sink into you because you're a natural being. It would knock your flesh off its legs. If all of a sudden we heard the double doors open up and we turned around and we saw our Savior coming down the aisle. Remember, these are the words of Jesus. So this is His will. This is what He says. And Jesus stood in front of each and every one of you tonight and called you up by name and said to you, as the Son of God, who cannot lie, who is the Word made flesh, I am telling you, fill in the blank your name, I am telling you a truth. If you will open your mouth and speak to the mountains, they will move. Amen. You'd be like, and you'd be blown away, and you'd be like, I got to do it. My Savior told me. But your Savior did tell you. See, He didn't tell me. He was talking to Peter. You're a whosoever. You are in that verse. You are in that verse. Jesus would not change His words to you if He came in here today and you needed change in the natural. You know what He'd say to you? Whosoever, you included, that would speak to that mountain in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, we better start getting to say some things. I can't tell you on this iPad the laundry list of things where I have to scroll up for the church, for my life, for my children, for just different personal things. Confessions of speaking, getting God's will in my mouth and what He said about certain things. Some of them have yet to come to pass. Some of them have already come to pass. I've checked off so many things. And, you know, there are times and things, like for example, if you're confessing for finances and the Lord speaks to you, part of getting that faith and activation opens up the door for Him to say things and you'd obey. But a lot of times I just, all you know, for example, when the sprinkler system at South Dayton, $100,000, and I didn't know whether it's believe for the money or to not do it. He told me not to do it. Well, you know what? I didn't do anything to make that come to pass except put that in my mouth. And every day say, Father, I thank you. We won't have to have a sprinkler system. The regulations will change. Father, I thank you. Why? That's what He said. I put His words in my mouth, and guess what? It hit the natural, and the law changed. Stuff works. Amen. You need to go home tonight. We won't do it tonight for time's sake because I'm going to get you out of here. And make a list. What am I believing God for? What does the Word say about that? That's why every single night I'm speaking over my children the Word of God. Father, I thank you they're blessed and mighty on this earth. I have scripture for that. Father, I thank you they're honorable, peaceful, obedient children. That's God's will for my kids. I speak it to them. Father, I thank you my children are like the arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior. What does that mean? A mighty warrior, their arrows are a blessing to him. What's that mean? They're sharp. The arrow's sharp. It hits the mark. It's a bullseye. So I say, my kids are like the arrows in the hand of a mighty warrior. That's what the Bible says that children are like. What's that mean? My kids hit the mark in life. My kids fulfill your plan. My kids are bullseye kids. My kids are blessings to me. Yeah, they're like the arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior. And then I say, Father, I thank you that angels go before my children and bear them up in their hands. Why? That's what the Word says. So I get the Word in my mouth and I say it. And I say it. And I say it. And I say it. And I water. And I water. And I water. And buds bring forth. And blessings bring forth. And that's how I do it for every area of my life. Amen. And this stirred me up to do it even more. To get digging in with these things. Amen. We get lazy, let's be honest. And the rain stops. Yeah. What happens if the rain stops in the natural? There's a drought. Say it. Say it. Say it, praise God. At least make a point to water once a day what you're believing. I can't say that I say my confessions 5-10 times in a day because I don't need to say that. I just release my faith, keep the saying going, keep the switch of faith turned on, and things happen. Glory to God. Think about Jesus saying it to you face to face. It would change you. You'd be like, oh my gosh, this is real, but it's already real. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead, let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful. Let me take a drink. Father, we thank you and we worship you tonight. We have our marching orders. Lord, there are things. I mean, I know some things in my life. I know some things in people that are here, their lives naturally, that need to change. Wishing doesn't change them. Hoping doesn't change them. Crying doesn't change them. Despair and discouragement does not change them. But putting the word in our mouth will change the natural. It's worked since the beginning of time. Hallelujah. You gave us the example. Jesus gave us an example. He gave us an example on the boat too. What did he do? Opened his mouth, spoke to a natural thing, the storm, and guess what? The storm stopped. Praise God. You know how we stop storms in our lives? With our words. You know how we stop poverty in our life? With our words. You know how we stop things going haywire with our children? With our words. You know how we stop sickness? With our words. Because we put your word in our mouth and it's power. Supernatural power. So Father, I pray that people would get a revelation of this, get it in their heart. Go home, praise God. Start releasing their faith and staying with it. And the Bible says to hold fast. Hold on tight to that confession of our faith. Well, he wouldn't tell you to hold on to it if there wasn't going to be something trying to knock it away from you. The enemy's going to try to come through discouragement, through time gone by, through thoughts to get you to say something different, to get you to not say it at all. No, he said in Hebrews 10:23, hold on to what you're saying. What's that mean? Keep saying it and don't stop saying it. I don't care if it goes backwards. I don't care if it stays neutral for forever. I don't care if it looks like it's going the wrong way. Hold fast, it will change because the word is true. So Father, we thank you for it tonight. We praise you. Let's stand to our feet and worship him. Praise God. Lord, we love you and praise you and bless you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love and your kindness. Father, we thank you for changes. We thank you for turnarounds. We thank you for the creation of prosperity and jobs and promotions. We thank you for healing. We thank you for things showing up in our children. We thank you for things in the natural, serious matters turning for our favor. We declare it in Jesus' name. We open our mouth wide. Just like you told the children of Israel, open your mouth wide and declare some things. Praise God. And we praise you for the outcome. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. See you Saturday at 6. You are dismissed. Praise God.